Well, beloved, this morning we consider together from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 15, verse 38, the great fact of the new and living way to God that Jesus opened by his death, symbolized by the torn curtain in the temple. The wonderful reality that we have as believers in the personal, direct, and assured access we have to God's throne of grace when we come in Jesus' name. Boys and girls, you remember that from this morning. Because of Jesus, if we're looking to Him and trusting in Him, we can meet with God. We're His people, His children. And the door has been opened so that we can come into His throne room, the great King of the universe, and we get to come and meet with Him. And based on that great fact for the children of God, tonight I want us to go one step further and ask, well, what then? What then? What does this mean for us to have access to God, to come before His throne? What does it mean for us? How do we experience it? What do we do once we get to God's throne? You see, we consider the great fact and reality, access to God. But what do you do when you get there? What do you do when you come before His throne of grace? Well, I think we have a perfect example of one of the great uses and blessings of nearness to God in Christ in the case of the visit of the Queen of Sheba to the great King Solomon. Now, even though this woman was a royal person herself and of great prestige and wealth, it was still a privilege for her to have an audience with King Solomon, to have access to his presence. He would have had to have granted that to her. She just couldn't have come on her own and said, I'm meeting with you, whether you like it or not. No. He would have had to have extended his scepter toward even her, that she would come to meet with him. She received access to the wise king of Israel. And why? What did she do with that access to the king? Well, the Bible tells us something beautiful, and it's there at the end of 1 Kings 10, verse 2. After she arrives and she comes to Solomon, we read, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. She came to the king and talked with him and told her all that she had on her mind. A more direct translation of the Hebrew would be heart. She came and spoke with him all that was in her heart. Now, you may know that in Hebrew, the heart is what is that which thinks in a man. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the Hebrews saw the heart as the whole inner man. There's more to the heart than just thinking in the Hebrew sense of things. It includes thinking, all that was on her mind, as we would say. But when the original says all that was on her heart, I think it's a more all-encompassing reality. There's a deeper and a bigger picture to someone who opens up her heart or his heart to someone else. And that's what she did. Everything that was on her heart, everything that was in her heart, when she came and met with this great king, she spoke to him about it. As Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, said of this passage, she had with King Solomon a time of heart communing. Heart communing. And we see in Scripture that the Queen of Sheba's experience in this regard is not unique. Why did Esther desire to see the king? Why did Paul appeal to Caesar? Well, I think the same basic reason as we see here with the Queen of Sheba and Solomon. They had something to say to these great kings and rulers. They had something to ask. They had something on their hearts that they wanted to express. And so we can see here in the case of the Queen of Sheba, the reason for access to the king was communication. Communication. You remember this morning's theme from a passage like Hebrews 10, for instance, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, through the curtain that is his flesh." And that's the whole theme this morning. Well, it's interesting, it's fascinating that in Hebrews 10, 19, "Therefore, having boldness to enter," that boldness there, the word used translated boldness, is the translation of a Greek word which also means, very often in other contexts, bold speech. It doesn't come across often in our English, but we have boldness to enter, the fact. But there, tucked away in that Greek word, is this very prevalent sense of boldness to speak. It's about coming to someone in order to say something. It has to do with speaking openly and freely. We see this word, that same word translated boldness in Hebrews 10 and other places. Acts 4:29, the apostles pray to God, "Now, Lord, look on their threats," the people who are opposing them, "and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." It has to do with talking. 2 Corinthians 3:12, "Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech." Same word. Ephesians 6:19, Paul says, "Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And so that same word that the writer to Hebrews says, that's how we come into God's presence, by the new and living way opened up through the curtain, which is the body, the death of Jesus. That word boldness has to do so often with speech. And so you see, that's one of the great practical applications, the results of what do we do with this access that we have with God? Well, we speak to him. We speak to him. The way that the Queen of Sheba came to great King Solomon. And when she was given access to King Solomon, she was able to say to him everything that she had on her heart. The visit of the Queen of Sheba to King Solomon. We're considering what we do with access to God. And here's a queen who has access to this wise king. What does she do when she visits him? She speaks to him and tells him everything that's on her heart. That's part of the boldness, the openness, the freedom that we have in coming to our God. We can talk to him. Jesus opened a new and living way to come to God so that we can do what? Speak to him. Speak to him. To communicate with our God. You know, sometimes when we talk to our children about prayer, we ask the question, what is prayer? And one of the most simple answers is, it's talking to God. That's so easy to say. It's one of the most amazing realities in this universe. Because of Jesus, we get to talk to God. There are so many people in this world that I'll never be able to get to talk to. I was amazed when our member of parliament wrote back a personal letter to a letter I had sent him a couple of months ago. It's never happened to me before. I've always gotten a form letter. He talked to me. I was staggered. There are other people. I'd love to talk to President Bush. I'd love to talk to lots of other people in this world. I doubt I'll ever get the chance. But every day, because of Jesus, I get to talk to God. And so do you. You get to talk to God. Communication. That's one of the great blessings of access purchased by Jesus. You know, we hear a lot about communication these days. It's kind of one of the buzzwords of social psychology and social dynamics, communication. And sometimes we may get tired of it. What's the great answer to everything? Well, it's communication. But we shouldn't get tired of it. We hear a lot about communication because we should hear a lot about communication. The last ladies' Bible study, I understand. What was the topic? Communication. It's so important. It's so important, this reality of communication between husbands and wives. Also for kids and their parents, talking to each other. I hear it all too often. When I speak to young people, I hear it all too often. Daughters or sons saying to me, "I just wish I could really talk to my dad." I was dealing with a case, not in this congregation, but in another congregation just this past week with a young teenage boy. That was his wish, his heart wish. "I just wish I could talk to my dad." And he had to tell that to a pastor. That I don't know how you would feel hearing that. It breaks your heart. First, it breaks your heart. And then it makes me think always, I wonder if my kids will ever say that about me. What am I doing? How am I living? How am I relating to them? That may be contributing someday to a situation where they would go to someone else and say, "I wish I could talk to my dad." Or my mom. You know, I don't usually check my email on the Lord's Day. Hardly ever do. So don't send me emails on the Lord's Day because I probably won't read them. But today I had a church-related affair that I had to send an email. And so when you send them, you get them. And I didn't resist the temptation. And I clicked Tim. But I couldn't believe the providence. Here's an email, and the subject line is, as I'm going over this sermon for tonight, here's the subject line. Talk to your kids. Here's the email. The Basic Skills Agency has launched a campaign to encourage parents to talk to their children. Experts say there is so little conversation in many homes that children are arriving at school barely able to speak. Wow. Communication. Just even on an earthly level. Beloved, you may have never, in your experience even, not talking about your kids, but maybe you in your experience growing up, maybe you are someone who has never been able to speak with your dad or your mom for whatever reason. But here is the amazing truth. As the children of God, because of Jesus, we have access to our Heavenly Father. And you can tell Him everything that is on your heart. I can't tell that teenage boy, I can't force his dad to listen to him. But I can say to him, "You have a Father in heaven that will listen to everything that you have on your heart." What a blessing to be able to say that to a young man. And you know, as we consider this theme, it's surely more than linguistic coincidence that as we celebrate tonight the Lord's Supper, we celebrate something that's also called Communion. Communion. Union and communion with God through the suffering and death of Jesus Christ in our place. But even as I say that word, you can hear in our English ears, communion and communicate have the same roots. Now, they're Latin roots, but they're the same roots. Communion, communicate. There's something going on there that relates these things. And they don't simply have a common Latin root. They have common biblical roots as well. To communicate means literally to share, to partake, to exchange, or to have in common. And all those are great themes of what the Lord's Supper is. This sharing, this communication, this exchange. And you get a lot of this, interestingly, if you read the Latin version of the Bible and you see how often these communicate words are used, communion words with that root for all sorts of different things. Jesus shared and partook of our humanity. Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And so we have emblems of the body and blood of Christ. He partook of our humanity. Our humanity was communicated to him. And then we think of him as our great representative and redeemer. Our sins were communicated to him. And his righteousness is communicated to us. It's exchange. That's the great exchange of salvation, the great communication, we could say. And in our communion then with God, based on the work of Jesus Christ, he speaks to us. Communion, communication, that exchange that we have. He speaks to us by word and spirit, and we speak to him in prayer. And so as we celebrate communion, we thank God, at least in part, that we may go to him because of what Jesus has done. And that we may tell him all that is in our hearts. I hope that wasn't such a convoluted mess that the beauty of it was destroyed. Part of communion is communication. We have communion with God. Part of that is the blessing of speaking to him. The psalmist knew that great blessing, and he encouraged the people of God in this way in Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in the Lord at all times, you people. Pour your heart out before him. God is a refuge for us. Pour your heart out to God. Isn't that just what the Queen of Sheba did with Solomon? She poured her heart out to him. Listen to Thomas Boston's words. Lack of holy communion is a very grievous thing. True love is communicative. It cannot bear to keep its secrets from its beloved, nor to be restrained in conversation with him. The stronger faith is, the more wants it tells, and the more fully it tells them. Do you want anything of which you cannot tell your Lord? If so, it argues either no sense of real need, or else little faith. Boldness means telling all. Telling all. Holy communion. What is one of the great benefits that we have as we come to this table and remember what Jesus has done for us and what he's purchased for us and what are the great results of his saving, redemptive work? It's that simple thing again, talking with God. We can talk with God. In Christ, we have access to God to tell him what is in our hearts. And I just want to ask you tonight, as I ask myself, do we appreciate that? That privilege? Do we use it? Are we growing in that gospel grace, in that privilege? Do we speak to our Father, our Heavenly Father? Do we speak to Him of our joys and of our sorrows, of our fears, of our weaknesses, of our failings and our failures, our successes? Do we come and talk with God about our hopes and dreams, our disappointments and our troubles? Do we, like the Queen of Sheba, come before our great King with our hard questions, like she did? She brought those hard questions to the King. Do we heart commune with God through the access that is purchased by the blood of His Son? Or are our prayers formal and dry and cold and ritualistic? Praying is pouring our heart out to God. That's a great privilege. You know, often in my Bible, I read of weeping and wrestling in prayer. I read of a Savior who sweat blood when He prayed. And when I read that, how thankful I am that it's His prayers for me, not my prayers, that are the real heart of my salvation. When He prayed, He sweat blood. Here's the great privilege of blood-bought access to God, communication with our Creator and our Savior. I want to encourage you in that, the way that the psalmist did. Just to pour your hearts out to Him. Maybe there's no one else that wants to listen. Maybe there's no one else that you think will understand. We have a sympathetic high priest, and we have boldness to speak freely and openly to Him. Maybe your husband doesn't understand. You just can't speak with him. You speak to God. Maybe a wife. Maybe kids. It's tough to talk to your parents in one way or another. That's an issue that needs to be dealt with. We'll see that in a sec, but you can always talk to God. You just tell Him. You just speak to Him what's on your heart. He knows already. You never have to be embarrassed with God about what you're thinking. Now, He knows it already. He loves to hear it. He loves to hear you say it to Him, because He knows what a blessing it is to get it off your heart. And you know, I think this whole issue of communication comes full circle. We realize that our communication in this world is broken in many ways, but then we look to see what Jesus has purchased for us, and we have access to God to speak to our Heavenly Father. And I think it comes full circle. Because at least it's in my experience, the more I grow in the grace of throne room communication, the more I engage in that in a real way with God, the more my earthly communication is sanctified. The more it's changed. The more I pour my heart out to God in prayer, the less I'll feel the need to speak to others in an ungodly way, in unkind speech, in gossip, in inappropriate communication with other people. The less I'll need to do that, because I've dealt with God on these issues. And that's enough. But also, on the other hand, the more I am used to opening my heart to God in secret and speaking of the things that are really on my heart, surely the more blessed and open and fruitful my communication will be with those around me. And for you as well, the more that you engage in real communication with your Heavenly Father. You speak to the issues that are on your heart with Him. The more blessed and open and fruitful your communication will be with your husband, with your wife, with your kids, kids with your parents. That's the great blessing that comes from it. So not only do you have the great blessing of speaking with God directly and just being blessed by that, the more you engage in that with Him, I know the more our communication is blessed with one another. Because I know it's true in my life, the less often, the less real that I am in my prayer with God, the less I speak in any kind of real, blessed, significant way with Tara or with the kids. It's just the way it goes. We begin there in the throne room of grace, and it changes us. We learn how to speak. We learn how to engage the things that are on our hearts with God and then with one another. And the more we speak to God, I know the more bold and courageous our speech will be to our neighbors as well. And the more gracious and compassionate it will be the more we first talk to God. Oh, beloved, Jesus has purchased for us untold, innumerable blessings. But one of the greatest is surely this. We get to talk to God. Let us therefore come boldly with free and open speech to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help in a time of need.